Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Tim, Ed, and Wesley in studio as well. Appreciate Abraham Hamilton III joining us last half hour. So, the big news is that President Donald Trump won re-election. Well, I say won re-election. He's going to be the next president. The Republicans are going to take the Senate and pretty, you know, either 52, 53, or 54 of Republicans. And so Trump will be able to get any judges he wants through without any problems. There'll be no drama about hearings or anything like that. You know, no accusations like the Democrats pull out against Judge Kavanaugh, you know, from his high school years about some girl who said.
You don't think they can do that?
It ain't going to work. I would use my ain't sup today. I understand that.
Before we get two in. You've got two in.
I know. I don't want our English teachers calling me. So anyway, the big news is, and the Republicans are going to win the House of Representatives, so Mike Johnson will be the Speaker. It's just a matter of how much he has to work with there in the House. But if you're in the House of Representatives, it's, of course, a much larger body than the Senate, and they have committees, and they're very important committees, and you only have to be in charge by one vote to chair all the committees in the House of Representatives.
Right.
So the Republicans are going to be in a sweet spot.
But they're also, the House committees are apportioned by representation. So if the Republicans have a large majority in the House, then they have a larger majority on every committee as well.
Now, the House has not been officially called.
No,
so that's true.
To make that point.
That's true. So what's your point, Steve?
My point? Okay. So we've been taking a lot of note. I remember I brought in yesterday or the day before that NBC was getting in trouble for not allowing equal time
Saturday Night Live.
So I didn't want to get us in trouble. So I have invited the Kamala Harris campaign and some of her followers. We wanted to give them some equal time here as well.
No, 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 no. Why?
So there you go.
Oh, man.
Is that a real person or is that just somebody?
No, that's a real person reacting.
That's called the sounds of San Francisco, ladies and gentlemen, right there last night.
Which we take great pleasure
in. Yeah, that's just, that's funny.
That strikes me as mental illness.
And listen, I could have gone this whole half hour with examples like that. Yeah. They're wow. Everywhere.
All right, so has Harris called Trump?
Kamala Harris is scheduled to call Trump tonight at 6 o'clock. She's made an announcement. Well, she's scheduled to address, to concede the race at 6 o'clock. She'll give a national speech, a televised speech. She is going to call Trump right before that and concede on the phone. Now, why did they wait this long? My thought is that all the people who write her scripts that tell her how to say the words are hung over from last night, so it take them that long before they can get the script.
Bada boom! Yeah, Steve has to have hard facts before you.
I know.
Before he reports things. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, but no, seriously, 6 o'clock tonight is the concession.
You know what? If I'm her, I'm calling him right now, and I'm saying, "Congratulations, you won. You don't have to give. You don't have to say what you know. What can we get together for Christmas or something
right.
like that?" Just say, "Congratulations, you won the race, and I concede, and wish you the best," whatever.
Races are important to America, Mr. President, Mr. Next.
Oh, you're mocking what she would say to him.
Stop.
Okay, yeah.
Stop,
I would do that, and then I would go outside right now, wherever she is, what hotel she's in, and do a little thing where I say, I want to thank everybody for supporting me. Sorry we didn't do better. We will keep fighting for our causes, and I want to thank my team, and thanks everybody for being here. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
That's all I do. I don't know. What, she's going to make a speech?
This,
a formal,
this seems,
some kind of formal speech?
This seems I can't be sure of this, but I don't ever remember anything being this late after an election.
You mean this decided?
Well, yes, usually it's the night of. Right. Usually it's the night of or the next morning.
2020, that took a while.
But when it's so when he's already been declared the winner.
Yes.
I mean, it's not close. We're not waiting on recounts and stuff like that.
Okay. Because why string it out?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why string? What's the point of that?
Right.
And who's going to watch her now? What's she going to say? I look forward to my new job on Saturday Night Live. Is that what she's going to say? Huh?
Well, like I said in the last segment, I don't know what she does. She's probably not hurting for money or anything, but she's done politically. She can't run for
anything. Usually they go do shows on MSNBC.
Yeah, I was going to say she might be she's awful high profile to be an MSNBC contributor or something like that.
Yeah, but y'all got to think of something else. I've said it, and y'all just don't listen. She's not good at interviews. She's not good in front
of
the
TV.
That's true.
Right, she can't go on CNN off the cuff.
No, so...
I'm telling you.
What is she going to do? Is she going to write books? Is she going to lecture and go on the college circuit?
None of that.
She
doesn't... Well, children's books, maybe.
You're brutal
I'm
today.
I'm telling you, she has a future on the Food Channel.
Now that I agree with.
Yeah, you do is create a show called Salads with Kamala.
Yep.
Salads and other things.
She can
things.
Make up every kind of salad. Just travel the world.
Yeah.
On interviewing famous people and chefs about their best salads. I think that would be a hit. All right, Steve.
Hey, reaction to the Trump victories coming in from around the world. The allies of the United States, the conservative allies, are congratulating President Trump. The more liberal socialist countries are expressing, a lot of them have congratulated Trump, but they're kind of expressing some concern, or at least they're going to wait and see. Benjamin Netanyahu sent Donald and Melania a message. This is on Twitter. He probably called him as well. But the message reads, "Dear Donald and Melania Trump, congratulations on history's greatest comeback. Your historic return to the White House offers a new beginning for America and a powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and America. This is a huge victory in true friendship. Yours, Benjamin and Sarah Netanyahu."
Don't you think Netanyahu's breathing a sigh of relief?
As are the majority of Israeli citizens.
Yes.
This is a game changer as far as how that war is prosecuted. Both sides now, or hold back, or don't go into Rafah, or whatever.
If you're Iran, you now know. Of course, you've got two and a half months. Whatever you're going to do, you need to do it. But you now know that the next president of the United States ain't going to play. See, I used ain't.
Yeah,
joining.
Ain't
going to play.
Yep.
And so your opportunity has been squandered if you were trying to eliminate Israel. You not only have to deal with Israel, but now you got to deal with the United States without reservation.
Iran.
What about Russia, Ukraine? Where does that go now?
Well, that's.
That's 5 minute solves.
Yeah. Solve.
Well, there was one of the cabinet members for Putin says looking forward to the possibility of a reset with the United States.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So end the war?
Who knows?
Donald Trump, remember, famously said that he's going to have this thing solved in a day with a couple phone calls. I don't think that's going to happen. Donald Trump has been very proud of the fact that he kept America out of wars and was not involved in wars in his first term. So I have a feeling whatever it is that America is going to kind of step back. They may still provide aid, but I have a feeling it's going to be a lot less public and a lot less.
We'll see. That war does need to end because, I don't know if they'll ever be able to rebuild Ukraine. Russia's, both sides have just, it's been brutal as far as the lives lost, towns and cities destroyed.
Listen, if you're Vladimir Putin and you want an exit ramp, Trump's reelection gives you an opportunity for that, and you can save face. You can say, we've been talking with the United States, and we need to bring this to a conclusion.
I don't want to get too much into this Ukraine-Russia thing, but it is a big thing if Trump could say, we'll get Zelensky or whoever to agree that NATO, that Ukraine will not join NATO. Is that a big deal?
That's a big deal to Russia. But I don't know what the off-ramp will look like. But
I think you're going to have to give up some of Ukraine.
Oh, Ukraine will.
Yeah, Ukraine will have to give up some territory.
Yeah.
And the Donbass, then, and then they've had
Crimea.
Crimea for a while.
Anyway, I just didn't want to sidetrack us there, but no. I don't know. That is going to be a big issue when Trump gets in. Well, it's going to be a big issue in terms of because the reason it's a big issue, not it doesn't affect any of us. We don't live anywhere near that place, Ukraine-Russia border, but it's the money we give.
Right.
And the support we give.
Yeah, so. I think President Trump will have to say, listen, we've got things to deal with here. We got our own infrastructure problems. A lot of Americans are suffering.
Tell Zelensky, so you better cut a deal with Putin.
Yeah.
Or else you're not going to have any money to fight anymore. And
Europe, he's going to say to Europe, you're going to have to fork over money to help rebuild Ukraine.
We are not totally removed that much. I mean, totally removed from what's going on there because, again, the NATO question, if they allow Ukraine to join NATO, there's a lot of people that say that the treaty thing that says that we all have to come to their defense if they're attacked.
It's Article 5.
So Article 5 could be invoked. Now, yeah. The other thing I'll say is if Trump is able to negotiate within a reasonable time some kind of resolution to that war, that plus the Abraham Accords, if someone does not nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize, and I mean legitimately, and they probably won't consider it, but I mean, if ever somebody, I mean, what, Barack Obama got one 3 days into office for nothing?
Hey, let's talk J.D. Vance, my friend.
Ah.
Here's it. You talk about a movie, a guy who, I mean, this is a remarkable. You would not. Couldn't hardly make this up, Ed.
Right.
The way he came from his background. I've still got the book at home. I'm in meaning to read it. I haven't read it yet. Hillbilly
Elegy.
Yeah. Have you read it?
I have not.
Okay. So anyway.
I'm going to, as soon as you're done with it, I'll give it to you.
I'll give it to you. But let me ask you this. Talk about that for just a minute. He's.
Yeah,
wow.
This is one of those things, again, I don't want to overstate things and over-spiritualize, but it's kind of like a Daniel thing where you start off way down here and all of a sudden you are pulled up into the upper echelons of government.
Could have never seen it coming.
Good grief. He writes a best-selling book. He becomes a U.S. senator, junior. Senator.
Barely wins.
And then out of all that obscurity, you become the vice presidential nominee for a kind of a long shot for a reelection, Trump Vance.
40 years old,
and now you are the heir apparent for MAGA.
You could see the emotion on his face last night during the speech. He was very close to tears.
It's an extraordinary story. The last 4 years, but especially the last 2 years, has been filled with extraordinary stories.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, political miscalculations, two assassination attempts. Like you always say, if you were going to script this for Hollywood, people would be going, come on, that's not very realistic. And the J.D. Vance story is
somebody from Trump's campaign has to get credit for this because I know when it was announced, we already had our own, quote, green list, and we had our two or three that we thought they would be a good fit because they had a history that we were aware of.
Right.
And we thought these would be a good two or three. But he wasn't even on the list for us.
Right.
Up until a couple of weeks before it was being announced, we saw him on the list. Yeah.
I had not heard him talk but like three or four times, J.D. Vance I'm talking
sure.
about, before he was picked by Trump. I tell you who I understand, and I've been very impressed. Haven't you, Wesley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been very impressed. One other thing, too, and there's a dozen or more things like this, too, but just talking about how things unfolded. I mean, you got 1 week, Harrison saying, you know, you're to a person in the crowd that says, Jesus is Lord, you're at the wrong rally.
Yeah.
Next week, someone where J.D. Vance is speaking at a Trump rally, says Jesus is Lord. I'm paraphrasing here. He says, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these things unfolding like this, the fact that that played out, because you can't tell me that was planned.
No,
you know what
no,
I mean? On,
no.
On either side.
But
you know what I mean?
But The heart is revealed
yes,
in those right. moments
yes.
on both sides.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else, too. This doesn't always work in terms of God. God always takes note of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That includes Christians, folks. God's paying attention. You don't hide anything from God. He knows what you're thinking, saying, and doing. Okay? But he's also paying attention to these folks at the top. And how you don't always see the consequences of that. But God was paying attention when Kamala Harris said, this is the wrong rally.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. You want the one down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm not speaking for God here because that's not my place. But it sure seems like somebody was paying attention and consequences were not pleasant for the side that said, not here.
And I mentioned that for a couple reasons. One, we're talking about how things unfold, but also, too, that's a direct reflection of J.D. Vance. That's one more thing that we learned along the way after his announcement.
He's Catholic, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by the heart's revealed.
Right, exactly.
He didn't have to say, you're right.
That's right. He could have let her finish and got right back into his speech.
So here's another interesting discussion about Trump's cabinet. I want to play you a clip from last night and then let you guys go off on this. Cut four.
Bobby, leave the oil to me. We have more liquid gold, oil and gas. We have more liquid gold than any country in the world, more than Saudi Arabia. We have more than Russia. Bobby, stay away from the liquid gold. Other than that, go have a good time, Bobby.
Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, set it up a little bit because we knew what you were talking about, but at the beginning.
So he has been, he and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a Democrat, but has some positions that certainly did not align with today's Democrat Party. They joined kind of forces at the end. Robert Kennedy has some specific things that he is interested in, and Trump aligns with those things, not everything. So one of the things that Robert Kennedy wants to do is Robert Kennedy wants to clean up the food supply. He wants to take on health. So if he could be very heavily involved in health and human services, if not on the cabinet at that level, vaccines and all that kind of stuff. Robert Kennedy Jr. is also fairly strong on man-made climate change,
right?
Which is why he was saying, stay away from the liquid gold. Trump is saying, I'll handle the climate change thing. We're going to drill, baby, drill.
Yes.
But you go ahead with the health thing. And I think that that was pre-negotiated. I think that did not surprise Robert Kennedy at all.
You know, before the clip that we played, President Trump said to Robert Kennedy Jr., he said, you're going to get a chance to do what you want to do. Make America healthy again. That's kind of been the theme with regards to RFK Jr. And that's another story. RFK was not going to win the presidency, okay, in any world. But the decision he made to come out in support of Donald Trump is going to actually give RFK Jr. the opportunity to do what he's passionate about in terms of, like you said, cleaning up the food supply, taking on Big Pharma, and also in terms of the vaccines and the studies. I also will say this. I would not be surprised. I remember listening to the podcast, Joe Rogan interviewing RFK Jr. I would not be surprised if we get some movement on the release of materials regarding the assassination of JFK.
JFK is his uncle. Politics is the art of compromise, and RFK plays it well.
What about, you got to have a White House press secretary.
Mm.
What about Joe Rogan?
I don't think so.
No,
he's making money hand over fist.
Not only that, but you would have to bleep out every other word.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Oh, you were kidding.
Okay. I'm kidding. Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan uses way too much profanity
I do like Jenna Ellis sent around to us this morning. What's the guy's name that's on the CNN panel, the one conservative, what's his name?
Scott Jennings.
Scott Jennings.
I got a couple of clips, if you want, if we have time to play from what he has to say.
I would like to hear that, but someone suggested maybe having him for a press secretary for Trump.
He's on CNN. I don't know his political affiliation, but CNN, there's a guy on CNN, Scott Jennings, and I don't know if it's him or another guy that does polling on one of the networks that they just kind of are honest about things.
Yeah.
And just let me play one thing he said. This is Scott Jennings. He's on CNN. And I want you to hear what he says about this election, what it means to the American people. Cut 15.
I'm interpreting the results tonight as the revenge of just the regular old working class American, the anonymous American who has been crushed, insulted, condescended to. They're not garbage. They're not Nazis. They're just regular people who get up and go to work every day and are trying to make a better life for their kids. And they feel like they have been told to just shut up when they have complained about the things that are hurting them in their own lives.
He said this on the panel election night on CNN last night.
Van Jones sitting right next to him.
Yep.
Yeah. So listen, this is a, I don't know, the, I'm glad I don't have to figure this out, but the Democrats and the progressives, they got a, you know, Humpty Dumpty is laying all over the place.
Right.
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 I don't know, they're going to have to recruit some people to start picking up the pieces, right? Yeah.
They got to do an autopsy is what someone said.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Chair Gowdy said that. I don't know. As Ed said earlier, you got the secular, progressive, liberal, far left wackos. I mean, they're dead set that their way is the only way, and anything somebody does decide, hey, maybe we need to pull back and be more centrist or reasonable is going to be condemned.
Yes, and if you remember too, Obama and back, they did a really good job of lying. So they would say they're for the border, and then they would get in, and the policy would be different. But this go around, they said, no, we're gonna open a surge.
Right.
You know. So I mean, my point is, they've gone.
Well, walls are immoral to them.
Right. Yeah.
If you ask them.
Yes, but it has always been, at least in my lifetime, but they're now saying it out loud,
yes,
which is now the problem, which is why they're going to have to go back to lying better.
Well, I don't think Biden, had he been in his right mind, and he was the Joe Biden of even 15 years ago, would have done a lot. Would have done some of these really, really far left things.
That's right.
I just don't think he would have.
Because he
would have
known
the political consequences would be what we're seeing today.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not excusing Joe Biden, but so let me just use this expression. He made a deal with the devil in 2020.
That's true.
Okay, because Bernie Sanders was going to be a real challenge to Biden.
May have won. May have beat him.
Might have beat him. And I think what the Democratic Party establishment said is, listen, if everybody will get behind Joe Biden, drop out of the race, we will, behind the scenes, put Bernie Sanders' policies into place.
That's right. That's what happened.
That's what happened. And so they
That's why Bernie Sanders bowed out.
Yes.
Yes.
The Democrats have been addicted to very bad candidates for a while. Hillary Clinton was an awful candidate.
Right.
And Joe Biden didn't deserve to win 2020, regardless of what you think of the vote. He was a terrible candidate. Remember, he did his whole candidacy from the basement with geese.
Yeah, in the background. We made fun of that.
Right?
And let me just give one example to make sense of what I was saying. So Obama, the example we've used a lot is Obama in his first term. There's a clip of him in a debate, and he was adamant about marriage being between one man and one woman, because that was a position he had to have in order to win. And then he got in office, and he went to his personal conviction. They did a better job of doing that.
Yeah.
Years ago. Now they got too many AOCs and Beto O'Rourke's in the camp that they're calling them out on. Like, no, if you really believe this about, like, Tim Walz. Tim,
we're right out of time.
That makes sense, Tim Walz?
Yeah. No, he doesn't make sense, but but anyway, I get the idea.
No, yeah.
I'm saying you make sense.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Poor Tim Walz. I don't know. He's going to have to find a...
What a knucklehead.
Is he still governor?
He's going to have to find, then he'll have to find a... Maybe a football team to go coach somewhere. I think he's good at that, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So he says.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.